Welcome to Peers Like Me, a podcast hosted by Western New York Independent Living. Today our guest is Sam Floyd, artist, peer poet, and founder of Recovery Stories. Our host is Maura Kelly, the voice of the individuals WNYIL serves. Peers Like Me is a regularly updated podcast developed by people who have been severely and personally impacted by mental health issues. For many people in this situation, seeking to be understood and having hope for recovery is often elusive. Peers Like Me podcast seeks to address these barriers by educating listeners on all the different ways people can seek help, understanding, and hope through interviewing our guests about their journey of recovery, their community leadership, and successful lives despite their own issues related to mental health. Peers Like Me podcast also envisions increased understanding by our community, neighbors, and coworkers to have each one of us truly be included in our community and hope for recovery and living very fulfilling lives.
Hi, my name is Maura Kelly. Welcome to Peers Like Me, an informational podcast helping people understand others with mental health disabilities. Today we are great to have artist, peer poet, Sam Floyd, who has decades of recovery from behavioral health issues, and he is here today to discuss his creative side of an initiative he's doing called Recovery Stories. Hi, Sam. Welcome.
Hey, Maura. How are you doing today?
Good, good. So what is this Recovery Stories? What is it?
Recovery Stories is a group that I hold in Buffalo, New York. It is a sharing circle. It supports people who have trauma, people who have addiction, people who are recovering from addiction, people who are recovering from mental health challenges.
Okay, how did you come up with this? How did you have the idea to do this? And how long has it been going on?
So I got the idea from 100,000 Poets for Change, the Poetic Advocates Activism.
Is that like a national group or an international?
It's an event that happens once a year in online. And what happened was I decided to kind of co-opt the idea of 100,000 Poets for Change and use it for the support of people in the Western New York area who were dealing with homelessness and recovery.
How did you find this 100,000 Poets? How did you find that on the website? Like, what made you search for that?
I started looking around after I worked with Just Buffalo Literary Center, mm-hmm. and they brought it to my attention.
Okay. Why did you want to do it? How did it impact your life, this initiative? How did it help your, like, I assume you have mental health issues or behavioral health issues, and this took some relief of that?
Yeah. So what happened was, as a person with mental health issues, I was dealing with agoraphobia for a number of years, and mm-hmm. as I got out of...
So what's agoraphobia?
Agoraphobia is the fear of being outside.
Okay.
Being outside the house, in the community, outside in the open air.
Were you ever not in the community because of it? Were you ever...
Yes.
So what happened there?
So I worked at Buffalo Psychiatric Center for 4 years.
Okay.
And after that, I started having more anxiety. They use the word decompensate, but okay. I basically started having more anxiety.
Okay, so you sort of fell apart?
Yeah, I kind of fell apart. And I stayed in the house for 4 years.
Wow. Did you go out at all?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I was able to take my children to the library, and I would take my children to maybe there and back. That's kind of it. Okay. I was not in treatment at the time. I was not doing any of the things that I needed to do for myself during that time.
Okay, so, and then how did you get out of it? I mean, you're here at the Western New York Independent Living Center outside your home, so you must have gotten out of it some way.
Well, I started focusing on my work, being a parent.
Okay.
So work as in my poetic work, and being a parent. That's what I focused on the majority of the time, with being able to take my young daughter from the bus, pick her up in front of the house from the bus, be able to take her to the library every day. So small steps, you know?
Right. So then how did the writing get involved with this, with your...
The writing became a thing that I was doing constantly to try to just pour out the feelings of being overwhelmed a lot of the time. I wasn't able to work, so I was at the time. So I was just struggling to figure out what my next step should be. I had a house with a co-parent, and I also had two young children at the time. And I was trying to figure out where my place was in after having, I felt like, a successful career in mental health as a peer, and now I couldn't leave the house.
All right, so what did writing do? How did that help you? How did that, did it relieve your symptoms?
Or yes. It basically gave me this outlet that I had previously known, because in my history, I've read Letters to a Young Poet by Rainer Maria Rilke. I've listened to Saul Williams. I've listened to Siku Sundiata.
And those are all poets?
Yeah. Read their poems in the in the community. And those people are what I aspire to.
Okay, yeah.
So when I was in the house by myself, with my child, but by myself, I would always go back to, this is where I grew up. This is the way I came, what I came from. Just struggle. And now that I was back in it, I was saying, well, that's how I started out, just listening to poetry, just moving forward, using poetry as that support.
Right. So where did that take you? So
I came out of being agoraphobic, and I started working on my mental health recovery again from scratch. And I started working again.
So you got out of the house?
Yes.
Less anxiety? No?
A bit less anxiety, right. But it's still a very present thing with me. Anxiety is something that I deal with constantly.
So I deal with that too. How do you relieve it? How do you function with such anxiety?
It's just more reminding myself to, as my friend says, give myself grace. It's also the idea that I am trying to be authentic over perfect.
Right.
So when I think about those things and remind myself of those things, I feel better and I can do better. But when I forget those things, I fall back into being more self-conscious.
So sort of giving yourself permission to be human.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So you had this group, this support called Recovery Stories. What is that all about?
Recovery Stories is a group where we not so much give permission, but we create a space for people to be vulnerable.
Okay.
And share their trauma, their history, their recovery, and a safe space so that they can, along with poetry, so that they can feel supported.
Okay, so it seems like to me safe space is used a lot nowadays. So what makes your space safe? How is that safe?
It's non-judgmental. It's not only non-judgmental, I always start out by telling a bit of my story. So I set the tone of that vulnerability, with that vulnerability of, this is where I come from. I come from the NAAA kind of rooms where people share.
What are those? What are, people might
Narcotics,
not know.
Narcotics Anonymous.
Right, and Alcoholics and Anonymous.
Alcoholics Anonymous. And Al-Anon is for family members of people with alcoholism.
Okay, so what are those groups and your recovery stories, how are they related?
So in recovery stories, just like in Narcotics Anonymous, people are open to share, and you don't necessarily have to.
Do you have to share that, like, hey, my name is Maura, and I'm a addict or an alcoholic? Do you have to identify like that? I think they do that. And are there any prayers?
There are no prayers, okay. But I'd like to believe that reading poetry can be a spiritual act, okay. In a certain way. But
do you have to not drink and not use drugs? Like
is not a part of it, but okay. It's more the social aspect. So the social aspect is people willing to come in and stack the chairs, put the chairs together, greet each other. You have to be kind of open to the idea of this is an experience that is going to happen. And as long as you want to be a part of it, you can be a part of it. If you don't want to be a part of it, then it becomes a situation where you may struggle, but we are inviting.
So what does it mean to be a part of it? What does it mean to be part of Recovery Stories?
What it means to be a part of Recovery Stories is that those people who come into Recovery Stories are able to listen, and just if you listen wholeheartedly and don't take it as something as an offense. Take space and make space is something that people say nowadays. It's basically when you want to say something, we're going to give you the space to say something. And if you don't feel like you need to say something, you don't have to.
So what if you do say something that's offensive to me? Wouldn't I say that?
We are able to have a space where if someone says something that we're not okay with, we're able to talk to them in a way that just explains, and that's what I mean by safe space, that just explains. You can tell me why you feel that way, and it's non-judgmental, so no one's going to take it offensively that you're going to have this conversation. We have the space for people to do that.
Okay, so do you have any, let's say you have a meeting tonight at 8 o'clock. What and I want to come. What happens? What goes on? So
we set up this space, and we have food and coffee and tea and everything, and everybody comes together, and I'll start off by sharing. Usually I share a part of my recovery as well as a poem.
Okay, so you share something you bring something you've written to the group.
Yes.
Okay. Do people know that beforehand?
People know that they have the opportunity to share beforehand. So a lot of people bring it believing that they'll have that opportunity.
Are they told, like, would I be told?
You don't have to bring anything you have off the top of your head. A lot of writers have poetry at hand.
I know, but so if I go to the meeting tonight, do I bring my writing with me? Like, I don't know.
You should bring your writing.
Okay, so will I be told that? Like, hey, if you got something, bring it?
Or, yes.
Okay, like, do you get a heads up? Like,
yes.
Okay, so I go and I bring my writing, and then you share, and then what happens?
So I'll share, and then I'll read a poem.
You share your recovery?
My poem and my recovery.
Okay.
And then when we open the floor for other people to share.
Okay.
So whoever feels like they would like to share a poem or a story or what's going on with them in their life, they're able to do that at that time.
Okay. And then how long does the group last?
The group lasts about an hour to an hour and a half. Okay. Usually.
And what is the purpose of the group? Like, what would I share?
The purpose of the group is just to feel supported. And it's just a support group for those in the community who write, those in the community who have gone through trauma, those in the community who would like to be a part of something that is growing.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been running this group? How long has it been going on?
3 years.
Oh, great. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
So, do you have any regulars that go?
Yes, yeah. I do have regulars.
Good.
Sometimes Maura comes. Oh, and then yeah. Sometimes we have Hi Carol. We have who also supports in setting up the group and also in getting flyers out to people.
Do you join forces with other groups?
We do.
All right.
We have something called the Woven Event.
Okay.
Which is an event that happens every third month. We have the Woven Event, which is Hi Carol's Right On, mm-hmm. My Recovery Stories, and Joel Lessis's Ground and Sky Poetry Series.
Wow.
So we do it one after the other. So it's a three-hour kind of marathon poetry event.
Are they in recovery of something or some sort as well, or no? Or is there writing similar to getting well or dealing with issues? Or?
Oh yeah,
yeah, okay.
So their support is for the idea of people being vulnerable. Hi Carol's statement is. And of course, I forgot at this moment. It's
I find it.
What you know?
I find it interesting that you're three men doing it. I find that interesting. I don't find many men running support groups. It seems like a very influx business of women. It seems like so. I think it's unique to have three men providing tools in recovery altogether. I just felt, I don't know. You disagree?
I don't disagree. I think it's very rare, a very rare thing. I've been a part of many groups that have been more centered. When they're led by a man, they're more centered toward men.
Right.
And I think what we bring to the table is that we're centered toward everyone. We're trying to support the community at large.
So you said a lot of what you do is based out of trauma.
Yeah. Right.
So 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, we had the Tops massacre shooting on the east side on Jefferson Street. And your group has been going on for 3 years. How did your recovery stories help that out or hurt that? Or did they have any, did that... your group have any impact or helpful in any way with the trauma of our community dealing with that?
I think we, as a person, African-American person in Buffalo, I think we kind of came out of that trying to support people.
Mm-hmm.
And I reach out to the community as much as I can. We haven't had a lot of effect on that as mm-hmm. much. Haven't had a lot of effect on the East Side community,
mm-hmm.
but we do have a lot of people who come from the community in general in Buffalo and around Western New York. I would like to maybe do more for that, get mm-hmm. more people who need support.
Right.
I would take the opportunity now to call out and say that if anyone needs to support, that I'm available and that this program is available.
Great. So how did you use recovery stories to deal with the trauma that you were inflicted on?
Yeah.
Because you're African American, one, and then you grew up on the East Side, too, mm-hmm. right? And then... everyone, our whole...
I grew up on the East Side. I was actually working, at that time, I was working for a mental health organization that went over to Tops after the massacre happened, and we were working to support people.
So did recovery stories, your writing, help you process it, or
I
no?
I think it's a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Because... yes, my writing helped me with the anxiety and the depression and things that I go through.
Mm-hmm.
But I think talking to people in Sal Bono Healing Circles,
uh-huh.
which I'm a Sal Bono Healing Circle practitioner, was more supportive in that situation because I got the feedback that I needed.
Can you explain what that is?
A Sawbones Healing Circle?
Yes.
It's a safe space for people of color to, or people from the African-American community, I believe is more to the point, to express just the struggle, the things that happen that it's hard to talk about with other people sometimes because they don't have that lived experience.
Right. Just I know for myself, in being traumatized by men, it's easier to talk to other women, you know, so or get support from other women. So because of your trauma and your issues, anxiety, all that stuff, something positive is coming out of it.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And that's sort of good, you know?
Sort of.
But, like, it's not like you're just down, dark, you know? Yeah. You're digging us out of the hole by having this community group.
Yeah.
So
I'm working on just keeping it as simple as possible. Because this is where it came from. It came from this idea of activism, poetic activism. It came from this idea that you don't have to be alone. Right. When I was younger, I was isolated. When I got older, due to agoraphobia, I was isolated. Mm-hmm. So this is my way of connecting with the community and saying that, hey, this is a poetry is an avenue for recovery. This is my way of saying, hey, peer support is real. There's something to be said for peer support with poetry involved.
And mainly that we're not alone.
We're not alone.
Yeah. So, Sam, where can people contact you? Or how can people contact you? We've mentioned a few activities you're involved in. If people had any questions or wanted to follow up with the Woven, your recovery circle, and the support group for people of color, that the name is
Sawbones Healing Circle.
Sawbones. How can people get a hold of you and get information about all those things?
Well, of course, I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
People can reach me out on Facebook, Samuel Floyd.
Can you spell Floyd?
Floyd.
Okay.
And people can reach also Hi Carol. Kind Fools website is Kind Fools. I believe it's .org.
Okay.
And Education Training Center's website for Ground and Sky. Ground and Sky Poetry Circles is educationtrainingcenters.org, I believe.
Okay.
So those are ways that people can get a hold of me or people that I work with.
All right. Thank you very much, Sam. Is there a Recovery Stories group coming up?
Yes, on the 15th of this July 15th.
July 15th. We were not going to. That'll be past. We'll be posting this later than that. But they can contact you
on
your website, your Facebook.
Facebook, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Sam. We've been speaking with Sam Floyd, the founder of Recovery Stories, a writing group to help support people coming out of mental health issues related to trauma, anxiety,
addiction.
Thank you very much, Sam. This is Maura Kelly, Peers Like Me podcast with the Western New York Independent Living.
You've been listening to Peers Like Me, a podcast that explores issues related to behavioral health, sponsored by Western New York Independent Living, Inc., with the assistance of the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Today, our guest has been Sam Floyd, artist, peer poet, and founder of Recovery Stories. Our host has been Maura Kelly.